The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome in, guys, to episode 35 of Coffee and Shell, the podcast. I am your host, No Sleeves, joined by my co-host, as always, Kesso. And what we're going to do, what we always do, is we start with how Kesso's weekend was. It's been a minute. It's been about a week.
Dude, it's been like a week and a half.
Yeah, huh? Week and a half. We got to do like a 2-for-1 week, I think, coming up here.
Yeah, we do have to do a 2-for-1. Maybe that's like an interview or something coming up.
Maybe. You
know, we're in the dog days of summer, so we got to figure something out.
All right, so what have you been up to? Well, give me a highlight of the last 10 days.
Highlight of the last 10 days? Dude, I've been sick. I've had this cough, so I've been popping Mucinex repeatedly. No, I took a test last week, and it was negative. So I don't think it's COVID, but just like an annoying cough.
Fair enough.
Went to see the new Top Gun. It was amazing.
Haven't seen it.
Dude, it makes you feel bad about yourself because there's like these dudes that are just like on the beach, like,
oh, the running around part,
you know? Yeah, and like Miles Teller has this really cool mustache that it's like, oh, maybe I could pull off a mustache, maybe I would. And then you're like, you look in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I don't look like Miles Teller at all. But no, it was amazing. Other than that, man, just, you know, being sick and stuff, just been kind of taking it easy, and just hanging out. So nothing too exciting, but we are going, after we record this today, we have an ultrasound appointment, like a follow-up thing, to see the baby again, which is always exciting, see how much she's grown. So that's getting closer. And then, you know, I've been working on this other business thing in the background that I'm excited to talk to you about a little bit more. So
can we talk about it on the podcast, or do you,
we'll have to do it offline. We'll have to do it offline. Cause I don't like, you know, I like talking about things, but then it's like, this is one of those things that could be like 2 months from now or like 12 months from now, you know?
Yeah. Well, respect.
So, okay.
Well, I'm glad that everything's going well. You know, I had a busy weekend.
Yeah, you did. You kind of had like a job thing come up, right?
A little bit.
Before you get into that, every single time I watch the NHL playoffs, and it's just like, you know, me and my wife are sitting there, hey guys, No Sleeves here. And like, we both just like, you know, look at the TV. And that's like the most surreal thing ever.
Dude, I don't know why. Like, yeah. So I'll give you the background on that a little bit. I forgot all about it. And I don't think it was on the first round at all. It couldn't have been because I was still like doing the subathon. But they asked me to record that like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks before that ever aired. So I had completely forgotten about it. And the one bad thing was I couldn't get my camera to work. They asked me to do it on camera. So that it would start like, you know, the Nasher thing where it's like, yo guys, what's going on guys? Nasher here. Like, you know what I mean? So like I could have had my face on there, which would have been a lot, but I couldn't get my camera to have like good enough lighting for it. But no, it is pretty surreal. I'm not going to lie. That is, that's one for the books, I think. And
dude, it's awesome, man. A lesser co-host here would be a little jealous, you know, but I'm going to ride the coattails and those sleeves as far as it takes me in this content.
Dude, you're in my bio for it.
Yeah, I know.
NHL.com. Right? And the host of Coffee and Shell, the podcast with Kesso Pagoni.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so GWC Europe, let's hear it.
Yeah, so we, dude, travel, first of all. You're still navigating, like, COVID. Not to nearly to the extent of, obviously, what it was. So I'll give you a little background on that. So first, we didn't know, like, when we found out, when I found out, or the you know, the cast and crew found out that we were going to Netherlands, everyone, like, assumed Amsterdam, and I don't know where, like, it came from, that that's where it was going to be, wasn't in Amsterdam. And it was, like, 6 hours away from Amsterdam. So, you know, like, that was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess, like, okay, whatever. But then we found out that you needed your booster shot to fly into the Netherlands, right? And I didn't have my booster. I was double vaxxed or whatever. So, like, I had to rush and go get that. And then I find out that we're not even flying into Netherlands. We're flying into Belgium. We're going, and you don't need, it doesn't need anything there. And then it was a car ride to go to the Netherlands. So we landed, like, Brussels. That's, like, an 8-hour flight. This is the other error I made. So, like, I'm so used to traveling now within the U.S. where it's easier to drive across the border. You don't need a COVID test. And then you fly from Buffalo to wherever I'm going. It's what I did in San Jose. It's what I did at Tampa, the Tampa event. It's just far easier because you don't need a COVID test to go back. But in the States now, to come back internationally, you need a COVID test. In Canada, you don't. So stupid me was like, yeah, okay, I'll fly from Buffalo or whatever instead of Pearson in Toronto. And now I had to get an extra COVID test in the Netherlands. So, like, that's a whole other scary thing, because if you have COVID, it's like, we did, you know, spoiler alert, we didn't. So I had to get that. Like, that was like a, you know, so I had to go from Buffalo to, like, Newark. And then I met the guys that are working at the NHL for the event. And then we flew to Belgium, had a car from Belgium to Maastricht. And so this city in the Netherlands, I've never been to Europe. The city's called Maastricht, and it's, like, got 120,000 people there. We drive to the hotel, and the hotel is connected to the convention center where DreamHack's festival is and where the GWC is going to be held. And it's, like, farmland mostly the whole way there. So I'm like, okay, you know, we're not going to have a lot of, like, fun, you know, outside of, like, you know, it is what it is. And I was like, okay, I'm just happy to be there. So we get to the hotel, we go check out the convention center, we see what DreamHack's setting up, and the venue, if anyone watched the GWC, it was incredible. I have been to almost every LAN event you could be at, and that including 2019's GWC in Vegas at the Luxor. It was better than that. It was the best venue you could have.
Yeah.
Couple issues, obviously. DreamHack is doing the production for GWC, so it's just kind of like a perfect marriage to go at their event in the Netherlands. The problem is that, like, all the play there is, the Netherlands isn't big on hockey. So all the players from, like, Finland and Sweden had to fly in. That was, like, a whole thing. Like, some didn't have passports, and they had to drive from Sweden, like, 16 hours. Like,
damn.
Anyways, like, so, you know, like, other than where it was located, it was really fun. So we check out the venue. It's awesome. We get a full free day, essentially, there. It's a six-hour time difference. So I knew my co-host came, Carlin. She's on a nine-hour time difference because she lives in L.A. She works for the Kings. She, after we had, like, our meeting and our lunch, she just kind of went to bed. It was a long travel day for her, as it was for all of us. But I was like, if I go to bed at, like, 3 p.m. Maastricht time, that's it. I'm going to wake up at 2. It's all scuffed. So I stayed up 30 hours until, like, 10 p.m. That first day. Woke up at, like, 8:30 a.m. Maastricht time. And I was like, okay, bang, we're perfect. So the second night we go down there, like, to the downtown. It's, like, 20-minute walk. There's not really any Ubers. You can bike, but we just walked. It was all along this, like, gorgeous river. I posted some pictures on Instagram. You get down there, it was, like, this crazy nightlife. Like, every single bar and club or whatever was, like, you just out on the road. And, like, you had, like, seats everywhere. There was tons of people. It was so much fun. I had a blast. Got to network with a lot of people. Then the actual events, my first GWC in person live event, I was a little nervous, but Carlin did all the heavy lifting because she was the host, did a phenomenal job. I still give credit to people that can host, like, live stuff, like hosting on, like,
and filling that, like, dead air seems to be the most difficult thing
as a host, right? For sure. But that's, like, one thing I don't get nervous about. It's a dead air. So, like, we had technical difficulties. There was a thing that came up. I guess we can briefly talk about that. Something came up with, for anyone that didn't watch, Ekin was playing Eki in the first semifinal. And those are widely considered the two best players. They had to play in the semis. And the stage was set up for FIFA and other events. And which is the reason why they had to tape the show. So, like, Another big thing is the show wasn't live. We taped it, and then 2 hours later went live on Twitch. The time difference, if we would have went live at noon, it would have been 6 a.m. Eastern time. Everyone would have hated it. The issue was is that the venue, they had a $40,000 FIFA tournament go on that night at 4 to 8 p.m. So like we couldn't move it to be at 6 p.m. Maastricht or Netherlands time so that everyone could watch it live at noon. It just wasn't in the cards. Like that, a lot of people don't realize the business stuff that goes on in the background. Because a lot of people wanted to, it got
it's
leaked.
Easy to be the armchair quarterback over here.
Yeah,
right?
it got leaked that Eki won, and that's always going to happen, no matter what.
But Eki winning,
yeah, well, that too.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate. But again, I get to see the other end of it, and it's like when people complain about stuff like the not live thing, that people just. I feel like there's a big sense that the GWC is like they're right. They have a right to this perfect tournament and this giant prize pool. Well, big prize pool. And if the GWC ever went away, man, like Hutt as a whole at the top end, like engagement level, it craters. And you saw it a lot this year. Like the second the open qualifier was done, all markets, all player bases tanked. Like 14 wins get you top 50 in Hutt Champs. Like, it's...
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people tweeting the Hutt Champs. So,
oh, yeah, dude. There's one weekend where I give it a go and I get, like, 17 to get top 20. That's going to be my Twitter banner that I got. Hey, I was a Hutt Champ. But nonetheless, so, like, yeah. So, like, the tournament had some hiccups. But anyway, so Ekin and Eki are playing. Ekin's using a converted... they're playing on PS5. He's using an Xbox controller. And it's Wi-Fi. It's a Wi-Fi converter. His controller had really bad delay on player switching and everything in the first game, and he didn't say anything until he was down 4-0. And even on the broadcast, me and Grizz like mentioned like his player switching just isn't on. And we had literally said that. And I guess there was like latency because the consoles were like off stage.
Yeah.
And he handled it really well. Like he tweeted about it, like he was really upset about it. And he was visibly upset about it. Like he had, because after it got reset, and I don't know what they did. I don't know if they moved the console. I don't know, because, again, I was on the stage. Like, I couldn't see how they fixed it. But the next game, they fixed it, and Ekin, like Eki survived. He won in two games, because the first one he won 4-1, but even after the reset, when he was up 4-0, Ekin scored the only goal afterwards, and then the second game, Eki just survived. I think it was an overtime.
Now, did Eki have the same issue, but he called, like, a timeout or something? He mentioned, like, he was having an issue.
Yeah, and I think that just comes from like people competing in these events. Like you get kids, they know they're on a big broadcast, big production. They're nervous about saying anything, right? After the fourth goal, and it was like clear because like he switches so late to his player. Ekin literally gets up and goes to like the stage guy and like calls like a timeout. So like they restarted the game at the time. Obviously, they couldn't do anything but the score because that would have been unfair to Eki. You know, it was just a really unfortunate sequence of events for him. And you got to think that all the time that goes into, like, trying to win, you know, and Ekin has fallen just short a bunch of times, right? Like, he's always right there. It reminds me of, like, Gren before he won last year, where he would get to the GWC, like, the draft, like, the live person, and then would just never get those wins. So I felt bad for him. Eki felt bad for him. Eki even said in, like, the thing, he's like, he's going to win one day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's getting harder and harder. Nonetheless, it was a really good event outside of that. And hopefully I think that everything was, on DreamHack side and production side, they're going to really fix that issue for sure. Make sure it doesn't happen. The next time is in Montreal. I don't know the venue yet. I'm curious to where it'd be because it'll be attached to the draft. So I don't know if it's like in the Bell Center or where it is. I have no idea yet, but really excited for that because obviously I'm, you know, a lot more, I know a lot more people. I'm excited for there'll be more, just more people down there. And obviously it's like my scene. Like I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But the Euros were great. I got to meet a couple of them. Cape plays on one of the best like sixes teams there. I had seen him on Twitter for a couple years. I got to meet Estor. And Estor was like,
great guy.
When I first started streaming NHL, he was like someone I would watch and like want to be like, cause his stream, he always had like great views. He's been around for so long and he was so good. So it was really nice meeting Estor and Ken was there from Sports GG. And, man, it was really good, man. I had a really, really good, really good time traveling back, dude, 21 hours total for me to wake up, get the car service, go to the Belgium airport. Dude, we go through customs there you go through security 2 hours to go through customs. Dude, there was thousands of people that were late for their flights.
Yeah.
Like, it was absurd. Like, I got on the plane because I had gotten there early enough. I got on the plane. I flew out last. I got on the plane 5 minutes before it was supposed to depart. And a thing went over the loudspeaker being like, there's 70 people still in line that have checked their bag that haven't come yet. So 2.5 hours later, I fell asleep, woke up, and I'm like, oh, man, we're in the air. Like, that was great. Opened up the window, didn't leave the tarmac.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, good God.
Did you have a Stroopwafel over there?
I did not. Man, that's the one thing I didn't. My man Kevin from the NHL, he was, like, dead set on trying, like, local cuisine. And he got this thing in the Netherlands called blood sausage. And it's like 70% blood. It was
no chance.
Yeah, it was an experience. I did not. I went with like fish and chips and like classic. Yeah. Like I tried beer from everywhere that was like local. I found one beer called, I think it was called Brandweiler, and it was like, it took me a couple times because there was like, they were heavy on the hops on a lot of them local there in the Netherlands. But then I found this one. I was like, this is dangerous. So that was what I drank the rest of it, but it was really fun. I'm excited for the future of GWC because I got a little sense in the background of what it's going to be like or what the attempt is going to be like and things they want to fix and improve upon. I'm excited. I really think that they want to put an emphasis on getting back to like the worlds. So having Europeans play the North Americans at the finals. Obviously, that was the plan this year. For anyone didn't know, like, COVID is the reason why. Because you have to understand, for the NHL to run an event, legal has to put out a document stating this is exactly how this event is going to run. They can't make an amendment in February. Like, this is how it is going to run. It's for $100,000. You can't have people, you know, being like, have it different expectations once you announce the event.
Yeah, and there's so many countries involved.
Exactly, that was the issue.
I'd imagine it's so difficult to plan something like that, not knowing what's going on.
So you remember back in December, like, Omicron was gigantic. They just couldn't do that. So,
And even now, cases are going up quite a bit. I know that less severe overall. Mm-hmm. Like, now if you get COVID, mostly it's just, like, you know, a bad cold.
Yeah, I think now we're at a point now where it's just, like, it's just accepted that this is going to be a part of our lives probably for the next 2 decades.
And I'm saying mostly, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's some severe cases.
Oh, for sure.
I haven't had it yet, knock on wood, but it seems
I have had it and it sucked a lot. I had it in the Dominican, which was not a good thing. But I think next year we're going to see a more traditional, like, 2019 GWC, and I think that'll be good for everyone because that event was, like, that is probably going to be my favorite event of all time, depending on how Montreal goes. But I got word.
Not only was that event great, there were so many great games, right? Like John Wayne and Ecky, and then Cookie winning it all. Like,
dude, I guess.
Would there be a better GWC game than John Wayne and Ecky and John Wayne scoring those goals like that?
I don't know, man. Like, this is why I hate, like, obviously, I don't like when the stream is not live. Obviously, in a perfect world, you want to have a live stream. That final series that between Jamal the Man and Ecky, and the fact that, like, once Domi lost, like, once, so Jamal the Man played Domi. It was like, there was like a feeling of like, Ecky beat Ekin, that was the finals.
Yeah.
And in the first game, Ecky like kind of dominated, and it was like, all right, he's going to go back to back. But like, I don't know if it was the pressure, because Jamal the Man was like newer, he didn't have it, like he wasn't expected to go this far at all. And Ecky was like, you know, the three time, like trying to go back to back, and like, there's pressure in that, you know? Mm-hmm. There's people in North America that discredits the EU region, and in terms of competitive NHL, and I understand the depth is nowhere near close, but it is still difficult with the game that we play to win and be the best in anywhere consistently, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about this, like, just by sheer population. Like, if you were to take the top 100 players in the world, I would honestly say, this is no discredit to Europeans, like, I would say probably 20. Would be in the top 100,
for sure.
You know, and maybe, and like Ecky and a few would be like up high, like in the top 10, maybe. And then there's just, but you have to understand that, like, there's like millions, like way, like, you know what I mean? Like, more population, it's just not really fair to like that, to say that they're obviously, the North American market is like better for like competitive gameplay, 'cause you have, you know, thousands of more competitive players. Right. So, but I'm excited. It needs to be Worlds again. Because clearly the NAs and EUs do not like each other whenever there's a stream. That Tampa Bay stream was electric, and we need at any point. So we'll have to wait and see. There was a tweet. I don't know how much, how much is behind it, but knowing my man from the New York Islanders, Jordan, who I got to hang out with a lot this weekend, if Rags wins the North American portion of the GWC, I would be pretty I would not be surprised to see a world where they bring Eki and the two Islanders reps.
Yeah, I think Riggs is gonna win. Like I would bet a lot of money on it.
Man, like I don't know why this is. Because I don't see Riggs play a lot anymore. Yeah. Because he was like this year, like he didn't play as much as prior years. Like he even said that, and he didn't stream a lot because he was streaming for the Islanders, and he had to focus on sixes quite a bit. And he didn't perform well in the Tampa Bay Lightning event. So it was like, for me, I don't know why I'm like not like having him.
I don't even think there's like a sixes event going on right now.
No.
Like leading up to those prior qualifiers, like there's nobody close to him.
It's crazy. And
if he keeps playing like he's been, I would put him against the field. I would put him at like plus 120. Like that's how good I think he is.
Really?
Yeah, that's how good I think he is.
I can't wait to see how Polgs does. Because do you remember like NHL 20? And again, I apologize for anyone that isn't into the NHL esports scene, but I guess this is a good education on it. And we have to talk about HUT, mandatory. Mandatory NHL, we have to talk about it.
It's the number one Hockey Ultimate Team podcast.
100%. The best. It's the number one Hockey Ultimate Team podcast in the world. So, like NHL 20, Regs didn't win, but that was like the most dominant year of NHL esports.
Yeah.
He won like three team-based events because that was prior to COVID happening. NHL 20 comes out in 19, right? COVID hits like March of 2020. He had won like three events. No one could touch him. And then the GWC went online and he lost to... did he beat Gren in Canada? Yeah, because... Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was the Canadian regional champion.
He was, yeah.
But there was no... Oh, wait, no. I'm mixing it up.
You're combining 2 years. NHL 19, he won every single team event.
But lost to X-Dubs to qualify.
And it was like that 99 overall, like, HUT, where I don't know if his team was that good compared to X-Dubs.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
That was what, because
yeah. He was the best player that year.
Yeah, like, and it wasn't really close, but he lost to X-Dubs, who famously, like, lost four times in one GWC.
Only guy that'll ever do that, right?
Only guy. But I want to see if like Polgs, like what happens. It's weird this year because we talk about this a lot. There's very few glitch goals, if any. If you consider the Polgs goal, I don't consider a glitch. Like there is a strong setup to get that set up.
Yeah, and it's somewhat, I don't want to say easy to defend, but it's like you see it happening and you just have to stand between the passer and the receiver, right?
Yep.
Not only that, like it's also tough this year because like who does Polgs play on Xbox, and it's like who does Regs play? I know, but like the competition on each console is so drained compared to prior years.
Yep, can't take
and
away.
I think Regs has tougher competition on PS5.
Oh yeah,
Polgs, and it's not even close.
Here's a dangerous scenario. So like we have seen a lot. Now it just got disproven with Sap Alien. So in that first series and how the GWC works, guys, and again, every Saturday you can watch the GWC. So this week, I believe, is the PS4 finals. So like uninstalling Geimer. What'll happen is the upper bracket finals play. There's three guys left at this point in the tournament. The two guys will play. The winner of that series will move on to Montreal no matter what. He'll move on to the next spot and they'll play for like seeding. The loser of that series goes down and then they have to play someone to go to Montreal. And every time that I've seen that happen in NHL esports, the person who loses and has to go and play a quote-unquote lesser-skilled player, or like, they're not the favorite, it usually because they've just like, famously it happened with Eki. Eki lost to John Wayne in the final minute, had to go play Nuke, and Nuke won, and Eki finished fourth. Because after you've lost
Eki finished fourth that year?
Yeah, he lost to Nuke off stream. Oh. You have to go and play, and you know that you had your shot at Montreal. And now you have to go and play. Now the pressure is ramped way up. What's about to happen on PS5 is Gren and Regs are going to have this ultimate showdown because they can't get away from each other, which is great. But it's not happening in the finals yet. The loser of that series is going to go down and play Aves. And if it's Gren, Aves took a game off Gren. you know, like, it could, like, that would be one of the biggest upsets, I think. If Abe's moves on to Montreal.
For a guy that technically, originally wasn't even in the tournament. Yeah, he was 33rd.
Yep. Like, that's, yeah. I think, we said this last week. I think Abe's is a top 15 player now.
Yeah.
Like, in North America, for sure. Like, he proved himself, he's improved a lot over the, just this season. But, like, that'll be, that's going to be a crazy one, because if he wins a game one of that first one to go to, like, man, he's going to have a tough competition. He's got to beat Regs or Gren, and I'm excited for that. So part of me wants to see Regs and Gren go to Montreal. First of all, like, you know, Regs is my boy, so, like, Gren, it's just good story, you know? But then part of me was like, dude, the absolute chaos if Aves knocks out Junior Pens, who we thought would do very well with how NHL 22 plays.
Yeah,
and then knocks out Gren or Regs, as my camera froze 1 second.
Yeah,
on the thing, we're getting to the point now where GBC gets really fun to watch, in my opinion. Like, I just think if you have not checked out NHL Esports, definitely try it over the next couple weekends, every Saturday, and the live final happens the day before the draft in Montreal, and I'm excited for that. I don't know, again, I don't know what the venue will be, but I'm glad that they tied it to the draft, because I think you got to think that some of these kids play.
Like, what do you mean?
NHL.
Like, who? What do you mean?
Like, the draftees. Sorry, the draftees.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. Because, yeah, like, I think a lot of people have run into some of these guys on, like, Hut with their 99 cards.
For
right?
sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, NHLers, I feel like once you get into the NHL, it's like, do you want to go back to work? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the sentiment. A lot of these guys play Warzone. They don't play NHL.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that trip was awesome. I'm excited for Montreal. Really excited. It's going to be really fun. And I hope for any listeners, I think that it's like, you know, reach out. You might be able to come to the venue. You might be able to come and watch it live. I don't know. I know they like the live crowd, so I don't know the ins and outs yet, but reach out on Twitter, and I'll see if I can get some answers for you. But all right, moving on. You said you had some content ideas.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I was thinking the other day. I was talking to Nathan. There's nothing to do content-wise in NHL right now.
As a YouTuber or what?
Both. Streaming and YouTuber.
Yeah.
Is there anything you could do that would be fun?
Like, the only thing that would be fun at this stage is to make, like, a bronze team and start in Division 10 and work up to Division 1.
Okay, but, right, fair enough, right?
And, like, that's, as a YouTuber, like, that's okay, but you're, the only reason you're doing it is for YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't find a lot of enjoyment of it anymore. And it's because, the old online seasons was perfect for this. Like, I did it in NHL 20, because the last year of online seasons, because there's, like, a clear, like, you get something, get a pack, now you're in Division 9, and, like, it was, I don't know, which Rivals is much the same, but the player base is also a lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah, that was my thing. I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything in the summer, like, I should probably do something content-wise. So I was talking to Nathan the other day, and I had a couple ideas for ways to engage the whole community, I think. And if anybody takes this idea, that's like a bigger content creator, I will call you out. Not that that matters, but, you know, there's a couple people that listen to this that might pass it off as their own. So the first thing I was thinking, I'll give you two things I'm throwing at you. The Summer Challenge Series, okay? Maybe we can find a sponsor to sponsor this. Isles Gaming is one of them. I actually did reach out to Jordan and messaged him. So come up with a list of 10 challenges to do, right? Each challenge gets increasingly harder to do. Like, the first one might be win a versus game with an NHL team. The second one might be, you know, win with an AHL team. You go down until you get to, like, Team Japan, right? And then, like, the final, most difficult one might be, like, win a online versus game with Team Japan on broadcast camera view. Nearly impossible, but if you have a big enough prize pool, like $500 to $1,000, it's something that can engage a lot of content creators. So the rules would be, if you're streaming this, you have to include, like, Summer Challenge Series sponsored by X, right? Creates a lot of impressions and engagements, maybe over a couple weeks. Part of the issue with this, I was thinking, is that, like, you know, say you're streaming this and you're competing in it, even though you wouldn't be. Somebody might stream snipe you and give you the win because they want you to get the money. So then it got to the next point. Why don't we just do it in squad battles, right? So each week would have an active period, right? So the first week, the first challenge might be you have a bronze squad. You play on rookie 2 minutes. Whoever scores the most goals during that week, you submit the VOD, and you're the winner of that week, right? Second week might be like a silver team or like a truculence team. 4 minutes rookie, most hits wins that week, right? So each content creator on Twitch is trying this for the week.
Okay.
Trying to get the high score. Final week might be like superstar, most goals wins, you know. I think that's a fun idea to engage the streaming community.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, like, dude, I don't know what it is. I don't have no interest in playing NHL.
Oh, I know, right? I tried last week, and I got half a period, and then I quit. And then somebody, I played a game with my, like, restricted squad.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a salary cap thing. And I was down, like, 2 or 3 nothing because I have, like, 199 overall player on my team, a bunch of, like, 70s. And I get a message from this guy, and he's like, is this really you? And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? I was like, he's like, I can't believe I'm winning. Like, oh, da-da-da-da. I was like, yeah, I mean, I have like 70s on my team. And he's like, oh, I'm going to remember this.
Like, so there was an idea that, like, I floated a little while ago. Like, I would love that progression mode.
We here's the thing, dude. We have nothing. We have to work outside the box in NHL.
Dude, I saw, like, a tweet from, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember what it was. I don't know who it was from about how, like, you know, they have to, like, for a year, I would love to see it if they don't do anything in terms of fixing, like, modes and stuff and just fix the actual stuff that's in the game. And it was for ESHL. I think it was Wingles. And yeah. I'm like, how different are these two games? Where, like, if you don't put new stuff in the hut for, like, two, like, dude, like, it's a complete opposite, right? Like, obviously, you know, fix your game. But, like, could you imagine they don't add anything new and they just try to fix, like, what else? How could you fix, like, what's going on in Rivals and make it interesting? Like, there needs to be new stuff.
Leaderboard would help that a little bit. But there's no way to do, like, I don't watch any YouTube. I don't know what Henrique, I know, is posting packs nonstop.
We all are. Yo, shout out to Thrash.
I mean, Thrash.
I am now doing that because I can't tell you why. They bring in the most views, and sure, that's fine. As a business, I'm like, sure, I'll rip packs. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I apologize. I don't like it. I'm stoked for, you know, for people that enjoy it. You know, like Thrash loves it. Thrash is enjoying the game.
Which is
dangerous. I mean, like, good for him, but, like, good. Like,
it's making me dislike him a little bit. He's the nicest guy ever.
He's the nicest.
With all due respect to the Thrash. I'm like, how are you enjoying this?
And I don't know if it's, like, because I had to talk with him about this, and we're doing, like, a franchise challenge.
Yeah.
And I had to talk about this, and I'm like, I'm wondering if it's tied to, like, success. He's doing very well this year. I had the same kind of thing last year. And I view 21 as, like, this, like, great game. Like, not great, but, like, pretty good experience, even though it was, like, the gold collectible system and all that. And I'm just wondering if it's, like, you know, if it's, like, success. And, like, obviously, you know, your best year, you're going to enjoy it, right? But he's finding ways to enjoy playing the game, and all the credit to him. And I think, like, dude, there's lots of casual players out there that, like, still enjoy playing it. I think that we're running in what me and you and other people like us are running into is that simply we are trying to play a game that is not meant to be played at the level and amount that we're doing. And I've heard developers say that.
Yeah. Oh, that's 100% true.
And you know what I mean? Like, we're playing it at, like, MMO amount of hours. Like, we're playing, like, 0 to 60 Warcraft, like, amount of hours when there is maybe 1,000 hours of people have thousands of games played. At 15 minutes on average for quit outs and whatnot, like, that's an absurd amount of time, you know? So we're talking like 2,000-3,000 hours, and it's like, dude, like, what else is there?
I know.
And what scares me a lot is we haven't really had any game changer talks yet. Usually they don't happen until, well, around later this month, July, I guess. We haven't had any. So again, full disclosure there. My fear is that, well, not my fear, but, like, my guess is that they are doing everything in their power to make this game cross-console. It is not as easy as copying what Madden and FIFA do, because it's simply different code.
Yeah.
So if all of the resources going into cross-console and cross-console is in the game at launch, that's pretty good. We've said this a number of times. That is the number one thing that needs to happen. But we've also said that doesn't fix the game. It allows you to make the fixes to the game.
Because in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, however long it takes to develop those new things.
Yeah, like, once cross console works and the odds of it working next year. Like, this could, like, I could potentially see this being one of the biggest disasters of the franchise. Could you imagine the pressure on them right now? Because, like, if they come out with cross console, no way it works. Easily a desync issue or something that comes up that allows, like, Xbox players to just unplug their controller and then bang, they get a win. You know, like, that's going to happen. Yeah. And, like, man.
I mean,
like,
you would hope a multi-billion dollar company would have the testing.
But it's, like, not a multi-billion dollar company. It's EA NHL.
It's a subset, the EA Vancouver with EA Sports NHL that has that micro budget. Oh, I know.
Which is always going to be the issue. Because if, like, EA Sports as a whole got, like, separated perfectly across, dude, NHL would be banger game. If we got a fraction of that FIFA money, oh my goodness. Dude, we'd have an incredible game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm pessimistic because, you know, I don't see them adding a big feature. I don't know what they could add. Like, X Factors, it wasn't even that big. It was literally, that's a copy from Madden. And imagine, if you take away if X Factors being in NHL 22, it is the, we've talked about this, is the worst year-over-year game in years.
Yeah, it was really funny. Somebody in your Discord, actually, I responded to somebody, and he was like, you know what, I would enjoy NHL 22 if, like, you know, it just had these things from NHL 21 gameplay-wise. And I was like, well, you're just describing the only differences that were actually between the game, because if you would enjoy it, that's basically NHL 21 then. Because year-over-year, even when it comes to gameplay, it was almost, like, only negative things, I think. Because, like, passing got worse and stuff like that. I think the flow of the game just got just a lot worse.
I honestly think that, like, NHL 22's gameplay, I struggled more than I've ever had. So that might be a biased take. You know, is the memes about me being bad, that's fine. I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
But this is my worst year that I've had. Like, I almost made GWC last year.
It'll only get worse.
Probably. But, like,
I mean, more content, you know, getting older, like,
the way that the game plays. So, like, in 21, the biggest problem was intercepts.
Yeah.
If you added intercepts, like, it wasn't even like all they did was turned off the intercept model. It's not like they did something to fix it or anything like that. They literally just turned it off to try and force, like, a manual defensive meta, which did not work because the stick in physics wasn't a thing. So if you would have just done what they did with 22 in terms of the stick in physics, I liked the flow in the game. But then it's like the only big differences are glitch goals are there. And I don't think that glitch goals help the game.
I mean, the passing too.
Oh, sorry. And the passing. Yeah. The passing, again, it's like they're trying to cater to
third line hockey when we should cater to first line hockey.
But it's almost like, go ahead.
No, the reason I'm saying that is I tweeted something last night. I was watching that Oilers and Avalanche game, right? Yeah. It's a 6-5 overtime game, Avalanche win. And John Wayne responded something about, like, you know, really you should be talking about how awful our game is compared to this beautiful sport. It was like something like that. And it had me thinking, like, you know, the one thing the game doesn't replicate, and it replicates less and less each year, is the actual speed of the real sport. And I think we've gotten away from that. Like, you watch hockey, it's a fast sport. You go to a live game, it's a fast sport. And it seems like the game's just getting slower each year. And it's like they're trying to, like, make it so you're playing like Zach Hyman, not like, you know, Connor McDavid. And Zach Hyman's a great first-line winger.
I'll say this. I think that, like, that isn't a card issue. I think that's the progression issue. Because McDavid at the beginning of the year, like at launch of the game, I would say is extremely noticeable. But the issue that NHL runs into, so, like, I get what you're saying where it seems slower. I think it's, like, artificially slower because when everyone's 99, there is no separation. You don't feel the speed, but technically if you went and played, like, a launch team, you would, now the memes would be like, dude, my base headman can keep up with McDavid. If they came on the ice at the same time, like, I would love to see clips of that happening. If you started the game, you went behind your net, and you took 99 Connor McDavid, and you had base Hedman as your defenseman, there is no way if you turned him around that he would be able to keep up.
No, I know.
You know, so I think it's the hardest game to implement power creep. And what's crazy is, like, I think there is too many attributes, or there's too many attributes that each player has in-game that's don't impact the things that are important in game. So the only important things is like in hockey ultimate team or in versus, or I guess in sixes, speed. After speed, it's weight and height or height. And then it's like, that's it. Like, yeah. Dude, like that is it. Like your shot does not seem better as it gets higher. You know, like, and there's no way to quantify any of these stats. There is no way to quantify strength. There is no way to quantify.
Hey, Sleeves, this is a reboot, man. We talked about it. That, you know, I guess this is what we get for doing the weekly hot podcast.
Yeah, like that's the unfortunate part. So like, you almost need to dumb it down and have less attributes. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't envy them because it is the hardest game to make a simulation of. Easily the hardest.
I just still can't get over. Just in my opinion, what is like the flow of the game this year just being so sloppy? Like everything's just sloppy hockey.
I agree. Like passing, the passing to the point, like D to D. How many times have you thrown it back in your own zone? I watched Ekki do it
multiple times. Yeah,
I watched the best player in Europe do it three times in his run, and it's just like, oh my god! And it's funny because what they're doing is they're trying to make a skill gap, so I can appreciate what they're trying to do, right? But it's like their game doesn't like. How did they take away the controller thing in instant replay? That would solve all of this. Because if you could go into replay and see it, like how your controller is doing, like why is that not in the game?
And why was that not patched in this year too? Like it was,
I think that's one of the things that's underrated that people don't realize that's gone. That would solve a ton of this because there's
what's funny? How many arguments did that save? Like you used to play sixes, same with me. How many times during a game where you're like, oh yeah, no, dude, I was aiming there. I don't know why it went to the middle of the goalie. And like the guy that was probably the best player on the team paused it. And he's like, no, look where you aimed it. You know, it probably saved a lot of people like, you know, in some arguments by not having that there.
But like, so like for the D to D thing, I would love to just see, okay, I'm not aiming directly at the player. And if that's the case, then I need to sit there and just work on that. Like you can work on that. You can, but like there, it just is not. It's not in the game. Like it, I don't understand why NHL the video game just takes things out of the game so much. And we never got an answer. For that. I think we asked.
I mean, that one was that new the Frostbite engine, right?
For I believe so. Yeah, I think it had something to do with Frostbite not allowing because replay wasn't even in the game or something at launch. Remember that? Like it was like.
There was something off about it.
I don't know if that was in the beta test. Maybe we're exposing, but there was something where we couldn't. The replay wasn't like in, and obviously that needed to be.
Some of those early alpha builds for NHL 22 were crazy.
Yeah, they were.
Just because it was like the new engine and stuff and tinkering with things.
Do you have what's your prediction for 23?
Better than 22.
It can't be worse.
It can't be worse.
Oh, right? I mean, I guess if cross console is an actual tire fire.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't turn off cross-console, like...
But here's the thing, though. What if you can turn it off, right? So you have somebody that's just like, oh, there's better players on the other console. I don't want to deal with it. And, like, let's say it works perfectly. That kind of sucks. You see somebody that's like, you know, 20... That's a very small percentage of the player base that impacts. I think it... You know what? It could be worse if the cross-console is like... If that happens and that's in the game... And it's just broken.
This
right?
is the first time issues. That we've seen a desync issue in like the HUT era where they had to freak out and figure out a patch. Like you remember December, they came with that patch and it was like the game you could not play for like 2 weeks. Like it was like, and that doesn't happen very often. Like obviously the game, like
it even impacted squad battles. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
It was a mess where they had to come up with a Band-Aid and remove the AR thing, which was like one of their selling points of the game.
Is that in the game now?
Yeah, they patched it back in.
Okay.
But yeah, like that, like I don't see how they can get cross console to work without having a lot of those issues.
I think you have to assume that at some point it would be in the game based on the other sports games under EA.
What do you mean, like cross console?
Making this push? Yeah.
Oh, 1000%. Like there is no way that their main thing right now is not cross console. Like I would bet like it's 70% of what they're adding into the game. Like I don't expect them to come out with something, NHL 23, here's our banner new thing about the game, and it is not cross-console.
Now, the one thing I do want to see, like, gameplay-wise, I always have fun because it's a hockey game, but I was more frustrated this year than in many years. I think the game would be better right off the bat if just passing,
They turned it back to what it was.
Back to what it was, but like they fixed that player locking to where it locks onto that far player. Like if they fix that for passing, I would have a better time too.
I agree. That thing, and the back skating. The player automatically on a, they're trying to defend.
Yeah, like, there's some AI fixes. But to me, like, I mean, passing is like the main thing you do in a hockey game, right? Mm-hmm. Like passing is like something that happens every single possession. So if that's just better, it just would improve the game overall for me.
Yeah, it definitely makes it less sloppy. Like, that's the one thing I noticed is that because of the stick-in physics, the game was just clunky. Because when you had a guy, like, it was like wacky
and
flavorful
two-man.
The
stick getting caught on players, causing those like 5 to 10 seconds of gameplay where the puck's just loose.
Yep.
Right.
Do you remember that one clip I had of turning like a TikTok where like my guy they just both of them try to kick the puck to themselves?
Yeah.
And it was like 6 times. And I ended up getting scored on overtime. That's like one of my favorite clips. But no, like that on top of the play, on top of the passing is what made it look ugly. Like it just it looked, yeah, like what you were saying, it just looked really sloppy. So yeah, I think if passing goes back to what it was, and I can appreciate them trying to create a skill gap, but saucing is like a skill gap because there is no aim assist. There's nothing when it comes to manually saucing, and they just made it where passing is like that too. And I enjoy that for sure. Like I can appreciate what they're trying to do, but I don't trust the game to do what they're doing. Like I need to see the thing in instant.
I don't with like the locking on and stuff. Yeah, and you can't see it. You can't like, oh, yeah, no, I was aiming there, right? So you can't see that in the instant replay. So there's no proof it's working as intended.
Which is, yeah, like the biggest thing. Like it definitely needs to be some of that going on. Guys, always on the comments, let us know like what are your like biggest thoughts. Like that's always fun to like to read those. We haven't read comments in a while. We should probably get back to doing that.
Yeah, we should. And I always enjoy reading the comments on the YouTube videos you post.
Yeah, most of them are just like, crapping
that's one
on
thing.
Me.
Yeah, that's, like, that's one thing I try to do every week is read the comments because... there's always some good ones.
Anything else about NHL?
I don't know. I hope the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup.
I don't want to see Tampa or the Rangers win. Although
I don't either.
It's becoming this thing where like, so I like moments in sports that we'll never see again. So like the Cubs winning the World Series, I really enjoyed that. I don't care about the Cubs at all. I'm a Red Sox fan, so it's a different league. Like, I don't care about the Cubs at all. But getting to see something that hadn't been done, like, 108 years, like, that was cool, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I don't like seeing back-to-back Stanley Cup champions because it's boring, in my opinion. I think that once your team gets knocked out in hockey, it's tough because the way the form... I've said this before. I think that NHL playoffs get worse and worse as you go further because of how the first round is set. The first round is the best round in any sport. It's electric. And because the teams that match up are like 110 points, they're at conference finals in the first round, essentially.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it now. We had a sweep from Florida against Tampa. And then like the only good one was like basically the only really good one was Carolina and the Rangers. But it's like not a lot of people are like big on the Carolina. And while the Rangers have a huge fan base, if you're not a Rangers fan, you hate the Rangers. Like
I think that's the only team I'm rooting against actively.
And that's just because of their social media presence. Like their fan base is just, it's very tough to deal with, like on a social media. You got to do it hard to ignore. But so now we're in a situation where like Tampa's like going, or the Islanders are going this crazy run. I was super wrong about them. They were really good or better than, I thought that it would be a few more years before they were like a real Stanley Cup contender, but they're pushing Tampa to the limits.
Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, the Islanders. Wait, were they in the...
Sorry. I was hanging out with Jordan too much in
Europe. Yeah, I know. Isles Gaming's on your mind.
And Tampa, like, I don't like seeing repeat champions because it's boring. When do you think in the salary cap era we'll ever see a 3-time Stanley Cup champion?
Like, I think this would be it, right? Because there's so many good teams, right? That have the team to do it. I think Colorado would have the core to do it, but it's so hard
to keep them together. Like that's the thing. Like you need to win a cup. You need like what, like the Leafs portion, like where all three of like their kids. So they had Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. They're all drafted like the same time or in that same 2 or 3 years, because then they're like their bridge deals before they go and get their first gigantic, enormous contract. Like they're together. Right, not to say that Toronto will win, but like that's an example. You need like say with the Avalanche, like Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon, like same kind of thing. McKinnon's team friendly contract like really saves
them. Well, that's what you need. You need that. You need those players to actually take those team friendly contracts. I don't think you should ever expect that from a player though. No. But I mean, like, you had Crosby those years too, take probably a couple million less than he could have gotten. You had Malkin do that. Letang do that at one point.
And those were all drafted right around the same time. Like a perfect example. Exactly.
And then I think you saw the Blackhawks. You had Kane and Taves massively overpaid, right? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of fell off right after that.
Yeah.
Tampa, with that, you know, no income tax or whatever they have in Florida, they've been able to get some pretty good deals out of their players.
Yep.
And then also, whenever you have such a great team, you have those veterans come in at like a million or whatever. Like Corey Perry, come on. Like,
you, what's crazy too is like once you win a cup, like it's so hard to get knocked out. Like, because you have that mentality. Like, it is, you can see a cup champion or a team that has won a cup that has a lot of players that have won a cup together, like Washington. Like, I don't think anyone expected Washington to give Florida that much trouble. And Florida had to come back in a lot of those games, and they had a far superior team. So like, and then we saw it with Tampa, Toronto. Dude, Tampa survived Toronto, but that game 6 and 7, like, dude, they have no mentality that they don't know how to win. Like, they don't know what it's like in that elimination game to win. So, and Tampa's like, yeah, we've done this like 19 times.
I know. Imagine the confidence, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I was even thinking about that watching game 3 at Tampa in New York, dude, whenever Tampa came. I think they were down 2-0. Yeah. And it was like they just turned it on, and looked like a completely different series at that point. One thing I do want to point out about these playoffs, because I love that we're seeing it now, all the absolutely terrible takes about McDavid, right? So I always love reading just like the idiots of the idiots on Twitter, right? So McDavid had what I think is the best playoffs I've ever seen in my life, by far. And Draisaitl, both of them in combination. And then, you know, it's like 80% great like comments about them. And then like 20% is like, you know, McDavid doesn't play defense. This is why this team will never win a cup. He's not a real winner like Crosby. I've never seen that.
Oh, God.
Dude, I took screenshots of it today. I was about to send it to somebody. Dude. Yeah, dude, there's like, it's bad.
Like, I saw a stat. This was before game 2. They had like 26 points apiece. That was more points than the playoff leader in scoring had in their entire playoffs. It was like, of the last 20 years, it was like 14 times. Like, it was that those, and they were in the third round. They hadn't
dude,
even
Crosby
made
won the Conn Smythe with 19 points like 5 years.
Like
ago.
It was normal, dude. I was looking at other teams too, like Fox and Zibanejad have like over 20 in the third round. I was like, good Lord, like scoring seems to be like just up so much in the playoffs. Like, it has got to be the highest it's ever been
in a long time. Yeah, especially and I think with this Mike year, Smith. They're actually calling right. They're actually calling penalties now in the playoffs, which I like to see. I mentioned that before on this podcast. I think whenever the playoffs are starting, I was like, they'll go far if they actually call penalties on, you know, the infractions. So that's probably one of the reasons.
But no, I agree. All right, let's talk about our top five. We're doing our top five today. We're going to do our top five most hated TV show characters. And I'm going to start things off with, at number 5, Janice Soprano. She is awful. You know, the acting, I guess, is good for what she's supposed to be, but there's no redeeming qualities. There's no redeeming story arc. It is awful. Easily one of the most hated ever in the history of television.
I am going to reiterate yours, because I have her on my list, so I'll do her at number 5, too. Because, no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Nothing.
What is it? 6 seasons of just being the worst person.
Like, she's just constantly asking or like demanding. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no like, oh, she comes out of there and somehow saves Tony Soprano one time. Like, it's literally just.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Even then, I don't even know if that would redeem her. She was so bad.
Awful. Yeah. All right. So those are our number 5s. All right. Number 4 is John Locke from Lost.
Okay.
Did you watch Lost?
No, I didn't. He was the main character, right?
One of them, yeah. And I think the acting was good. This is purely based on character. He's just like always like against like the protagonist, but he's like in his mind thinking like this is the right thing to do, and it's like always wrong.
Yeah.
There are some points throughout the series where he's kind of cool, and in the end, he ends up becoming like, spoiler, I mean, it's from 2005. He ends up becoming like one of the basically like, you know, not God or the devil, but like, I guess it'd be part of it. Like, just, didn't like him at all then. And all throughout the show, I've never liked him once. So John Locke is number 4.
That's a good one. So I'm going to do, so mine were like hated characters, but also like annoying characters that I, you know, think might have been bad for a show. New season, or the season of Book of Boba Fett. I hated all those like cyberpunk kids that were like, I was like, this is extremely cringy. I was like, why is this included? They're trying to appeal to like some kind of crowd, I guess. I was like, this is terrible. Shouldn't be included. So I'm going to have them as my number four.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. They weren't like, I'm a Star Wars fan, and yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't think about that out of the box. But
it
yes,
was. Okay. It was a recent thing. I was like, oh, I hated them.
Okay. My next one is Clark Griffin from the 100. She is like the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Just annoying. Like every single story she's in, and I don't think it's partly. Maybe I'm not like a fan of her acting. But like, no, awful. Like it just, and part of it is just bad writing for her. But yeah, she's always like listed to be like this person that has to save humanity and make these like tough choices, and it's always just so annoying. Like,
yeah,
obviously so annoying.
My number three, I'm gonna go with a version of Daenerys from Game of Thrones, season 8. The writers absolutely destroyed the show. All this character development over, you know, all the years that we watched the show was just thrown away in the blink of an eye. And Game of Thrones is ruined forever for me due to this.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, it was really bad. I will say that. I think that, yeah, I guess if you're saying the last season, Daenerys.
Yeah, oh, because she was great. And, yeah. And even then, Emilia Clarke as an actress did a good job with the limited, you know, stuff that she was given.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. My number two, Julie Cooper from The OC. Same kind of situation. She was just portrayed to be like this like socialite, like just and just horrible. Like you're supposed to hate her,
mm-hmm.
and I guess she does her job very good. But then even in the last season, there's like a redemption arc, and even that's really lame. So yeah, just again, The OC is one of my favorite shows. Can't stand her.
Okay, I wonder if we agree. You watch The Office, right?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I know. It's one of those shows that like I wish I would have, but I have not.
Andy Bernard from The Office. Okay. Played by Ed Helms, is that it? He started off okay, and then for like 5 seasons, he was just the most annoying character ever.
I hate that.
Yeah, just like it's just like, I hate this guy. They tried to make him into like a new Michael Scott whenever Steve Carell left, and he was just terrible.
You know what's funny? Like in like drama shows where like the first season, there's like the first like half of a first season where like there's like the big bad dude that's like, you know, like a badass, and then they just turn him into like this like joke character.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, it happens so much. It's so often.
Yeah.
All right, my number one, I just rewatched this and like I completely forgot how bad she was as a character. Skyler White from Breaking Bad.
I have a Breaking Bad character on here.
I would love to be able to guess who it is, but because like I almost put two on here, but I feel like recency bias. Skyler White is like, I don't like her acting. I don't like the story. I don't like how she is meant to be hated, I guess. But
yeah,
even when
I think
she's
that's
trying,
why I did a great job of it.
No, but even when she's trying to like defend her family, it's awful. Like it's just like it's, you know what I mean. Like, and I don't know if that's because you're supposed to like Walt, and he's not good person. Like there's a. You know?
Yeah. Oh, and he's a terrible person, but like he's still the main, like, you know, character of it.
But he clearly is like, yeah, he ends up having this God complex, but he's still like, his motivations are somewhat okay, but oh, God, she is awful.
Yeah.
Oh, even like in the series, like, again, no, I can't act. So, like, you know, who am I to judge? But not a good actress for that, at least for that role. Man, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was great because, like, I almost included her, but then I'm like, but like, she did such a good job because it's like, oh, you hate her. You know?
I guess. I don't know if you're supposed to hate her.
I think you're supposed to feel bad for her. You are, right? You are. I don't know, because how would you react in that situation, right?
I guess, yeah. Like I don't know what it is. I would love to know in the comments if you are supposed to hate Anna Gunn in Breaking Bad. That's my number one, though.
I think so many people do. So my number one from Breaking Bad, you guess it.
It's Marie, her sister.
No, it's not. So I got, I forget the guy's name in the show, Meth Damon. What's his,
I have no idea. I don't know the real name.
The bad guy.
Oh, Gus Fring?
No. The sick psychopath that has Aaron Paul tied up at the end.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, what's his character's name? I forget it.
His Uncle Kevin, I think?
Jesse, no, Jesse Plemons.
Oh, that's Jesse Plemons name. You don't like as an
actor? Yeah. No, 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 no. I'm saying he's a great actor. I'm saying his character was, he was, like, insanely sick.
Dude, he was the nicest guy, but he would shoot kids. Yeah. Like,
he had that smile. Like, smirk. Like, he was like a psychopath. I remember just feeling, not too many shows make me feel uneasy, but whenever his character had Aaron Paul like tied up in the back seat and Aaron Paul could see him walking up to the house and he shoots the kid,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh my girlfriend. God. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That is pretty dark. Yeah. But I think that's a good character.
Oh, I'm saying it's a great character. Yeah. I hate him, you know?
Fair enough.
We had a little different parameters.
I guess that's true. I went more annoying.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so I had some of those, and then I had like I hated this character.
No, that's fair.
He was great, but I hated him.
Fair enough. I almost had Marie on there, but she's not in the show enough to. She's
Amber Marie. Wasn't that one of the things? And he's like, I'm working on my minerals. Wasn't
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
like, rocks. They're not rocks. Working on my minerals. Yeah. That show is, I might have to do a rewatch of that show soon.
We should do top five worst TV shows because Hank is in one of the, I guarantee
is that newer one?
Is Under the Dome. Dude, that might be the worst show. I watched it from start to finish because I read the book and the book is incredible. It's a Stephen King book. And I couldn't believe that they were making it a show. I was so amped. It had to have been one of the worst TV shows. Like by like the final season, I was literally only watching it because like it couldn't get worse. I was like, I gotta see what they do today.
I remember I didn't watch the show, but I remember that came out shortly after Breaking Bad ended, and I was like, oh, Hank's in a new show. Like maybe I should watch it.
God,
I liked him.
God, dude, it was so poorly done, but. That's for another day, bro.
Dude, I think you could have a podcast just about Breaking Bad and how great it was.
It's funny because like I didn't like it when it was first out because I was like, oh, I like Sons of Anarchy. I can't like Breaking Bad. It's so dumb how that is.
Isn't it? It's like the old console wars.
That's exactly what it is. Like you, but now there's like enough time in between where you can like anything. But this is like you only had time to watch one show on like, you know, network television at like, you know. There's no, like, TiVo and stuff, so, like, you had to, like, watch it, like, illegally, and, like, that was always an issue, so I was like, I only got time for one.
Yeah.
God, man. Absolutely. We should do worst TV shows of all time.
Worst TV shows we've watched, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I like that one. That's an easier one.
All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for episode 35. Thank you for sticking with us for the dog days of summer, and we will be back next. We'll probably do another one this week, to be honest. We got to catch up for
we
one
We probably
week.
Should, yeah. Yeah. Maybe Thursday night? Does
Maybe.
That work for you?
Maybe.
Okay.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. Peace out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.